So I was up super early this morning, and sometimes I just, until God just really solidifies to me what this passage is about, my mind is just everywhere. And somewhere in the night last night, God said to me, "It's truth. It's about the truth. It's about revealing truth." Okay, so I got up this morning and I was reading about the Old Testament, the meaning of truth in the Old Testament, the meaning of truth in the New Testament. It kind of turned a light on for me. The Old Testament truth in the Hebrew means reliable. So whenever that you see that word truth in the Old Testament, you can substitute reliable, right? You stand on it. God is reliable because of his words and all he portrays exactly who he is. In the New Testament, it actually means reality. This would be the Greek. It means reality. There's a subtle difference there. His words unveil a reality that we should agree with. But guess what? You cannot grasp this reality until you start putting it into practice. Aha! So truth is revealed as we put it into practice, right? Interesting. Okay, so be thinking about that reliable reality. Last week, we learned that we all need to humble ourselves and eliminate the pride in our lives. And today, we're going to talk about speaking the truth regarding others and regarding ourselves. That's what this passage is about. Let's get the outline up, Donna. And we're going to talk about the truth about others and then the truth about ourselves. Speaking truth. Okay, the people in James' church are actually judging each other. That's why he wrote this. He's talking about what they're saying about each other. And he says, don't slander other sisters, other believers. This means backstabbing, mudslinging, bad-mouthing, right? We all get the idea of slander. It's really speaking false things. Maybe there's a little bit of truth in there, but most of it's false, and it defames someone, it condemns them, and it harms their reputation. That's how you know it's slander. And you actually can be taken to court for slandering people, right? James gives us now three reasons in these very few verses, 11 and 12, why we shouldn't slander. Slandering makes us a judge of others. Slandering makes you above the law, and slandering makes you above the lawgiver. Three reasons that we shouldn't slander. In verse 11, it says, "Brothers, do not slander one another," or sisters. "Anyone who speaks against his brother or sister judges him." It is said that the Sioux Indians have this prayer: "Great Spirit, help me to never judge another until I have walked 2 weeks in his moccasin." There's a lot of truth in that, isn't there, ladies? It's the idea, of course, that we never really know what someone's going through unless we walk in their shoes and unless we put ourselves in their place. It's a good idea to think about that as we're judging someone, to really try to put ourselves in their place before we are so quick to be critical and judge them. Second, slandering makes you above the law. It says, again, "Brothers, don't slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it." When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but you're sitting in judgment of it. Okay? So it's like this. If you're speeding, and if you do it a lot, you're going to get pulled over. Anybody want to raise their hand on that one? There's a lot of speeders in this state, aren't there? Oh my goodness. It reminds me of California. You will get pulled over. Now, when the cop comes up, you can lie, "I didn't know I was speeding." You know? No, I wasn't speeding. Or pretend, was there a speed limit sign? Oh my gosh, I missed it. I totally missed it. Guess what? You're going to still get a ticket. And you're going to get a fine. And you don't have to pay it, but then they're going to issue a whatever, summons, warrant for your arrest, right? You are not above the law. By speeding all the time, are you putting yourself above the law and judging the law? Maybe. And I'm not about all of that. Don't worry. The reason I don't have a DFC on my car, cha-ching, I want to speed, and I don't want you guys to know it. Okay? All right. Slandering makes you above the lawgiver. Ooh, wow, this is really getting our business. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? In the early 1900s, there was jurist. He sat on the Supreme Court, Oliver Wendell Holmes. You probably all heard his name. And this is what he said. Someone asked him, "What's the secret of your success?" He said, "The secret of my success is that at an early age, I discovered that I was not God." Isn't that great? That, what a wise, wise man. No matter how intelligent or insightful any human judge is, they are still human and they're subject to error. Even a Supreme Court judge errs, right? But there is one judge who's always right about everything, and he is the judge of the universe. We know that the judge of the universe is all wise, he's all powerful, he's eternal, and he's here. He's right here. There is none like him, and there is no one puts anything over on our God, not even the devil, and certainly not us. And yet, okay, I want you to listen. Really listen to this. When we slander someone else, we are saying that we are bigger or better than God, that we know more. He's the judge, not us. Listen, ladies, there's a caveat to all of this. We are to evaluate character as Christians. It is imperative that we evaluate others' characters, but we don't judge. We look at their fruit. And we have to do that. We have to be prudent as Christians and wise. We have to be able to do that. You evaluate their fruit, the fruit of their lives. That's how you know where they're at. And always, love is the antidote. Remember, lovingly we correct someone, lovingly we confront, and lovingly we forgive. We speak the truth in love. Our first point, a spiritually mature woman will speak lovingly and truthfully about others. The truth and love, always in balance. A spiritually mature woman will speak lovingly and truthfully about others. Covering over sins is what we're supposed to do. If we feel the need to always be telling others the truth, like it's just inside of, I just have to tell you the truth, but there's no love, no grace, that other person feels judged and humiliated. Mark Twain is quoted as saying, this is funny, it takes your enemy and your friend working together to hurt you to the heart. The one slanders you, and the other one tells you the news. Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. Don't be delivering news like that. That's not good. And Let's see. There was a newspaper published a false and misleading account about a certain man. This man went to a famous politician to ask what he would recommend. This is what he said. After listening patiently, he said, "My dear sir, don't do anything about that slander. Half the people who buy that paper never saw the article about you. Half the people who did see it failed to read it. Half the people who read it failed to understand it. Half of those did not understand it. No, they don't know you, or they refused to believe it about you. Half of those who believed it were people of no consequence anyway." That gets you down to none. So basically what that's saying is, if you hear about being slandered, just forget about it. Forgive and move on. Do you really think of other believers as your sisters and brothers? Are they your family? That's where we're supposed to be. I think when we really begin to see people as our family, especially here, you don't talk bad about your family, girls, right? Never, ever, ever talk bad. Well, I did talk bad about Barry today, didn't I, Carol? Yes, not giving me my messages. Sorry.
But you did.
He was busy. Don't talk bad about your family. Do you judge others based on their appearance, on their friends? If something bad happens to them, you blame them, even maybe when it's not their fault? Do you base your judgment on their kids or on their spouse? Are people constantly being offended by what you say? If so, maybe you're arrogant in your attitude, and it sends a message that people are inferior, and they feel judged by you. Slander is a big topic. Next, let's talk about the truth about you. Verse 13 says, James begins this section in verse 13 by addressing the wealthy businessmen of the church. So these are businessmen who are, you know, traveling salesmen and all of that. It doesn't appear that they seek God or his will for their life, and they're measuring their life by getting to do what they planned on doing. Does that remind you of anyone? Getting to do what they planned on doing. We even, this morning, we were talking about making lists, right? Does it upset you when your lists don't get finished up for the day? That's like these businessmen. Okay, verse 14 talks about life being very complicated. Let's look at that. And it says, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? Think of what your day looks like today. You've come to Bible study, got up, got dressed. You come to Bible study, a lot of you work after you leave here. You exercise maybe at the end of the day. You go out to lunch. You're thinking about meals you need to cook or running to the store. The load of laundry that you didn't get in this morning. All the things that you do. In fact, I'm probably making you nervous making this list. And the emails and the texting and schedules and timelines and deadlines and on. That's our lives. But when we have God's will really guiding our lives, it really takes a lot of the complication out of our life. We are way too busy, ladies. We are way too busy. We can count on him to give us wisdom to direct our path, but we need to pray over everything. We just assume that this list we've made up is in his will. Maybe pray over that list and make sure it is the way he wants you to spend your day. In verse 14, it talks about life being a mist. And weren't those verses interesting in the questions about just how short our life really is? These businessmen were making plans for the year, and they don't even know what will happen tomorrow. In the Denver Jobs Network, which I co-host with Doug Filter on Thursdays, we had a gentleman, Brian. who came for quite a while, and he actually wanted to talk to me at some point. And this happens a lot because most of the people who come to the Denver Jobs Networks do not go to church. And a lot of times they'll see me after and ask me to pray about an interview or something like that. I don't make any apologies for how we what we believe here, and that we believe that God has the solution to their unemployment problem. I make no apologies for that. I always pray, and, you know, and we have 40, 50 people here every week. But anyway, Brian, he wanted to come talk to me and told me about a family situation, and we prayed, and just a lot. He was really struggling with a lot of unforgiveness. And it wasn't very long later, I got a call. I think it was from Doug, and said that Brian had died in his sleep of a heart attack. And it was just such a wake-up call. He wasn't much older than me. And I was like, really? That is amazing. And that I had that opportunity to talk to him about forgiveness and pray for him. And you guys, you never know when it's your last opportunity to tell someone the truth in love, to pray for them. You never know. And what he did with that, I don't know. But I do think he was a believer. But he was so far from God because of this unforgiveness. So anyway, you never know. It's such a wake-up call. Life is so short. And those of us that are over 50, I'm telling you, life gets faster and faster, doesn't it? Is it true, you guys? It's amazing. And I read something about that in your perception. And actually, time does speed up the older you get. It's crazy. And then that last verse, I'll tell you, I read this last summer when I was working on James and beginning to work on these questions. I read that verse, and it has stuck with me ever since. Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. You know what you're supposed to do, and you don't do it. It's a sin, you guys. Why do we deliberately disobey God when he says, go do that, bake that bread, take that meal, send her a card, call that person? Why do we just disobey him? Pride. This reveals an attitude that we really don't understand God. We don't really know how he works or who he is. And we don't really understand God and his will for our life. We think we have a choice. We don't. It is our obligation as believers to follow God's will. It is not, he's not saying, this is a multiple choice question. He's saying, this is what I want you to do. Too often we look at God's will as some kind of formula that makes us miserable. Hello. Does that ring any bells? Don't you hear people talking about that? God might make me go do something, go to Africa or something. Why is God's will something that has a negative connotation? To believers, it shouldn't. Many of us speak about God's will that way. Instead of seeing his love and that he desires the best for us, he's got a purpose for us. He has something he wants us to do. Listen. Being out of God's will is going to make you miserable. Do I have any amens on that? Have you ever been that? Yes. Hello. Oh, my goodness. You will be miserable. If we deliberately disobey God, God is obligated to discipline us. He has to. It's his nature to do that. But he does it in love. And guess what? It actually means that you belong to him. Did you ever think of it that way? It is like saying, I love you. You are my daughter. I will discipline you. You can't just let little kids run wild. They don't feel loved, do they? He loves you. His will is an expression of that love for you. Our second point, a spiritually mature woman will surrender to God's will for her life. Just surrender. We don't like that word. Blake and Lindsay Berry, you guys know them? Blake, I have known since he was probably 2 or 3 years old. And what a pistol. And Lindsay, what a neat young lady. She was one of our leaders in the Wednesday night group. They are our missionaries to Africa. Do you know that? They're working for Wycliffe and Associates. They're in the DRC right now. They had this call. I mean, I think God made them to do this. When you look back at their lives, God made them to be missionaries. And, you know, their parents, I know at times think, wow, they're in Africa. They're in a really dangerous place, right? And they could think, wow, that's really scary. But you know what? The safest place in the entire world for Blake and Lindsay Berry is the DRC in Africa, in the Congo, in Africa. That is the safest place in the world. Why? Because they're in God's will. Woohoo! Isn't that cool? If that doesn't sound appealing to you, and it does not to me, not in the least, I don't think God's going to call me to go to Africa. He might call me to go there with Rachel sometime and minister to the women or the kids, and that would be fine for a couple weeks. But I don't think he's going to send me over there permanently. Well, he might. You never know. Do you really believe that God has a plan for your life? Why are you so afraid of that plan? And who really is in control of your life today? Living in truth is so important to God. Let's put up that last slide, Donna. And this is a quote from Charles Spurgeon. Okay. Maybe I didn't save it. That was this morning, very early this morning. I probably just didn't save it on there. Here, listen to this from Charles Spurgeon. This is really good. Saints not only desire to love and speak truth with their lips, but they seek to be true within their hearts. Not just speaking truth out of your mouth, but having it in your heart. They will not lie even in the closet of their heart. For God is there to listen. They scorn double meanings, evasions, equivocations, white lies, flattery, and deceptions. There's truth in our hearts, and it comes out of our mouth. James gives us 2 areas here today, ladies, where we need to speak the truth. We need to speak the truth. We need to be speaking truthfully regarding others and never slandering. We need to be speaking truthfully about ourselves and not boasting. If you're going to boast, who can you boast about? If you're going to boast, boast in Him, what He's doing in your life. Will you take the challenge in this week and really watch what you're saying about others? And about yourselves, no slandering and no boasting. Let's pray. Lord, we just worship you as the God of truth, that your word is true, that we can stand on it, that your word is reliable, and it is our reality. And as we live in the reality of your truth, we are free, and we will know your will, and your truth will set us free. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your words in James. They are harsh. They are hard. They knife us in the heart. Yet we need them. Lord, I just pray for each one of us this week to speakingly about others. Always the truth in love. And that we should always be careful how we boast only in you and what you're doing in our lives. What a great reflection we will be of you to our outside world when we will not participate in gossip and slander, and when we will not participate in boasting about all we have and do. Thank you for this lesson. Thank you for these ladies who, what incredible women these are sitting here. You are transforming them day by day, and they are so faithful, God. I just pray again for the beginning of a revival in this church. And I pray you'd use each one of us as women of the word, that revival begins in us. And we ask it in your name. Amen.